The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a thirsty Thursday happy hour rolling into it, Dom. So I suspect you're quenching your thirst or making your belly hotter, one or the other.
Ah, come on, man. It was National Tequila Day yesterday, so I'm celebrating all month.
Like a birthday. Well, you can celebrate with us. It is the happier happy hour. We always appreciate your participation. 844-967-2789. But Dom, I got to bring our attention back to the top of the Republican ticket. I know no one wants to know what Donald Trump's up to, but he's on the campaign trail and he's talking trash about Kamala Harris. Didn't take long. The unified ticket, well, you know.
Wah, wah.
Charlotte, North Carolina, even Donald Trump's supporters, since he suddenly has a tougher race on his hand. You'll see immediately why I like this article, Dom. I found it at Politico. As the former president unloaded on Kamala Harris in the swing state of North Carolina yesterday, calling her radical left lunatic, at one point, faithful fans conceded that what had been a sleepy contest had abruptly become something quite different. To some, it seemed like the vice president had momentum. She's got Kamala momentum. Policy aside and everything, she's definitely terrible. Has the energy, says Jessica Costello, a self-described centrist from Charlotte who voted for Trump in 16 and 20 and was at the Charlotte event. She's going to be a contender for Trump. Honestly, I think she'll be more of a challenge. Taking the stage at the Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte, his first rally since President Joe Biden dropped out of the campaign, Trump ripped into the vice president, casting her as lying Kamala, except he mispronounces it. So he says, lying Kamala Harris, and dubbed her the most incompetent far-left vice president in American history, and repeatedly declared that she would destroy the United States if elected. Trump has some reason for concern. Harris, after being endorsed by Biden to run at the top of the Democratic ticket. And Dom, didn't we see some reporting earlier today, Obama's about set to toss his hefty weight behind the Harris campaign as well?
Yeah, CNN actually has it on the Chiron as we speak. That's going to be coming up sooner than later.
So Harris, after being endorsed by Biden to run at the top of the Democratic ticket in recent days, has seen a bump in polling compared to Biden's lagging performance, including among independents, people of color, and women, among other critical voting blocs. Now, said Bryson Davis, an 18-year-old from Statesville, he's running against somebody that's competent. Kamala's going to come off a little more fiery than Joe would. These are Trump supporters saying this.
Right.
Or, as Costello put it, the fact that she isn't suffering from old age, it's definitely going to give her a huge bump right away. She can talk, she can laugh, obviously. For the former president, Harris's ascension was but a new invitation to fight, and the crowd ate it up. They cheered when he conceded he was not going to be nice about Harris, despite saying he had become nice after the attempted assassination on July 13th. And Trump yesterday fumed over the news coverage Harris has received, as Democrats have coalesced around her since Sunday, insisting that his crowd sizes are still larger. And you see my crowd? I have the largest crowds. 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, She was the worst politician in America, Trump said. Now they say, isn't it amazing? Look at her. She's beautiful. She's so magnificent. No one says that about you, Trump.
No, no, no. Crudy Trump this week agreed to debate Harris and said he would be willing to do more than one debate against her. It's a forum his supporters appear eager for. While predicting an eventual Trump-Harris debate would sway voters towards Trump, Joe Wally of Mooresville acknowledged the race seems closer now because she's got the momentum. Sitting next to her, Kelly Henderson says she feared some women who are soft Trump backers will shift away from him. Again, these are Trump supportive. Trump focused his attacks at the rally against Harris on her history as a prosecutor and a senator, describing her as more liberal than Bernie Sanders and who destroyed San Francisco with her policies and will destroy our country if she's elected. His new Harris talking points were apparently distributed to speakers who took the stage before him, with Rep. Richard Hudson from North Carolina, chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee, offering nearly identical criticism. Now, what kind of attacks Republicans will consider in bounds is still a matter of uncertainty after Speaker Mike Johnson this week chided GOP members about attacking Harris based on her race or gender, a warning that came as at least one Republican called her a DEI vice president. Trump supporters at the rally Wednesday largely shrugged off concerns about whether her status as a woman of color would be used against her by Trump or Republican operatives. You mean more or again? Before the rally on Wednesday, Stephen Chung, a spokesperson for Trump, said the campaign hasn't gone after Harris's race or gender, and so they didn't take issue with Johnson's guidance, but asked if taking that approach was off limits for Trump. Chung said that wasn't necessarily. I don't know it's off limits, but it's not something that we've done, so it's not even on our radar. Yeah, right. Similarly, Michael Whatley, the chair of the Republican National Committee and former chair of the North Carolina Republican Party, in an interview declined to say whether he agreed with Johnson's remark about staying away from Harris's race or gender. Instead, he said what he thought the party should focus on, quote, "Look, I think we need to talk about her being an extreme California liberal," Whatley said, criticizing policies she supported in her home state in the Senate and as Biden's vice president.
844-967-2789. I'll clear my throat and try that again. I've been reading the text line. Linda from Milwaukee chastises me. Crudy, stop it. You're going to piss off so many people. Can I ask you, does your wife want to hit you with a frying pan often?
Yes, knucklehead.
She has a specialized frying pan she uses for just such occasions. L.A. Tom trash-talking me as well. If we end up losing Crudy, you'll know how important that speech was that Joe Biden gave last night. I don't see it. I am not trying to crap on Joe. I am completely behind Kamala Harris. I'd like to put all our attention on her and crazy Don. But Joe Biden gave a speech last night, and you were very interested. You wanted to know, you Dom, what it was that he was going to say. What explanation did he give? And I didn't learn anything. I thought he was the wrong messenger. I don't think he knew what to do with his hands. And it didn't make me any more confident in anything other than the fact that I'm glad that Kamala Harris is now the top of the ticket.
I hear what you're saying, and I know you have a problem with the physical mannerisms of the president at the desk, but do you hear the words come out of his mouth?
Multiple times, though. I watched it live. I've heard it replayed.
And do they resonate with you, or did they just what? I mean, come on, man.
I don't think they have the most impact on the American people.
The most important election of our lifetime. When you say it, apparently it has weight. When the president specifically articulates what we're doing, compares it to history, talking about the Oval Office, the Resolute Desk, and these grand presidents that made these decisions before him. Humbled in front of the American people, concerned about the future. It's a republic if you can keep it. Yeah, it's just words to you, man. It doesn't resonate with you at all. I mean, the selfless act alone plus the history. Come on, man. That is, you couldn't have given a better worded speech. Now, his mannerisms, his age, his pronunciation, the tongues, and maybe could have been better, sure, man. But the content.
He's a great man. Can we move on?
Certainly.
Joe's great. Love Joe. Less speeches, more Kamala. That's what I would like to see. let's keep the top of the ticket front
think,
and center.
Come on, but Matt Flynn had a point. Do you think the Dear John letter was enough?
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. No, he's the president of the United States. Not everyone's on Twitter, dude.
Other than a few conspiratorial QAnon that thought that Joe Biden didn't really do this of his own volition, that press conference, that statement from the Oval Office off a teleprompter, 12 minutes in length, convinced no one of anything. Nothing accomplished. Nothing happened.
No news. You keep saying that. I understand that. Yes, you discount the history.
Did you watch it live? Did you? You said you listened to it.
No, I listened to it. I listened to it.
So you didn't even stop your car and get out and watch it on the TV in real time. That's how important it was to you.
I listened to it, Crudy. I could listen to it
again. In real time? In real time?
No, I did not listen to it in real time.
So it wasn't even important enough for you to stop the car and listen to it in real time.
It is absolutely irrelevant. The manner and way in which I consumed. No, it is irrelevant. You, sir, are prejudiced by the fact that he's an old man, didn't know what to do with his hands, that you can't even listen to the words. You say it
was
all the time.
That distracting.
The most important election of your lifetime. I got it. Most
he's not the candidate any longer, Dom. We don't have to have this argument.
He was the candidate, and a Dear John letter does not suffice for a historical moment for a president of the United States walking and stepping away from the campaign and passing the torch, man. That doesn't cut it. Maybe for you, maybe for guys like you who dialed in, read the stuff all the time, but for the general American people, for 50% who aren't even dialed in yet, come on, man. It was responsible. It was historic, and it was better than you give it credit for.
Because I watched it in real time. I am quite aware that he's still a challenged messenger. And if the message is so convoluted by the messenger that I didn't get it, dude, I didn't go watching that with some sort of... I didn't go watching it with colored eyes or rose-colored glasses. And I watched it in real time. I made a special effort to listen to the president, watch the president address the nation in real time. And it didn't accomplish anything, to my opinion, which is the only opinion that matters to me right now. How about you, dude? Did he satisfy all you told me? I want to hear it. It's important that we hear it. What he satisfied? Did he satisfy all your wants?
No, he did not. Nobody does. But I thought it was a great speech. It was historic. It laid bare the importance of this election, things that you reiterate all the time. But unfortunately, he's just too old and too stiff for you to appreciate it. We appreciate you, our audience. You can come back with us. Tell Crudy why he's wrong. 844-967-2789. Come on, share your dollar with me.
Charged. Never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Callers are lining up. Be patient. We will get to you. 844-967-2789. Crudy, according to the Hollywood Reporter, Joe Biden's Oval Office address last night drew a large audience. Nearly 29 million people watched the 15-minute speech across 15 broadcast and cable networks, according to final same-day Nielsen ratings.
PPK tweeting at us, laugh out loud, is Crudy really coming on my radio to tell me the only way to properly consume news content is to watch it at Devil Radio? I'll give him a like for that. That's a good point you make, sir. I would also point out, and I'll draw this distinction, then we'll hear from the audience because some of you think I'm wrong. All the enthusiasm right now is with the Democratic Party, but it's not with the former candidate. And I think Joe was a hell of a statesman and a hell of an unselfish human being. And whether or not he was pressured, whatever, it wasn't a coup. He made this decision of his own volition. And he certainly deserves the respect of the office, and he certainly deserves the right to tell his side of the story, right? So I'm okay with everything. But if Joe Biden was still the candidate, that speech did not convince anyone that watched it that he was ready for four more years. And if you did watch it, and I'm not saying that's the only way you can consume your news, but I chose to watch it. And I did find it disconcerting that Joe Biden didn't know what to do with his hands. didn't know what to do with them.
Kamala Harris is speaking right now, apparently speaking after her meeting with Netanyahu. So maybe we can go to that if we get Rich. In the meantime, we'll take some calls, 844-967-2789.
Here's a pal, Pizza Box Mike. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Mike.
Not too bad. But let's just back it up for a minute, because, you know, I saw you guys at the Barrymore, and you haven't heard from me since, right? Unless you heard me talking with Earl that morning after the interview, and he and I felt the same way. You know, it hurt to see that. Was I the first guy to get up and know that, you know, Joe Biden need to be replaced? And then I got the beating on Facebook, you know, just like you caught.
Well, I got it on the radio, man. So welcome to my world, Pizza Box.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Well, listen, this thing with Joe Biden last night didn't hurt anything, man. And it's kind of like, I'll just say this. It's like canceling a guy without letting him say goodbye to the audience. Oh, but inside nerve. But anyway, you know, that was for Joe more than anything, right? That's his chance to say goodbye. It's his chance to just basically let it all out and let it go. He was very defensive and hurt by this. The real reason why he had to get out was not just the polls, but the fact that the money was no longer coming in, and all of a sudden, all those experts on MSNBC finally figured out what I knew a month ago, and probably quite a few other people. But since we're not, like, you know, experts on anything except winning and losing elections, who knows more about it than the people that have to vote? And I'll tell you what, I said right from the start that this whole spectrum of voters is just hungry for another candidate besides these two guys.
Yeah.
And they got it, and you're feeling it, and I'm sleeping good at night, and I didn't have to get up and get in anybody's face to say I was right, because man, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. It was about, we can't win like this, right? And it's time for, you know, yeah, it's time for,
there was no enthusiasm.
That's cool.
And now there's enthusiasm oozing out of every pore of the Democratic Party, every part they seemingly, and Mike, I don't feel like the Dems force-fed us this. I feel like it was too much to ask to think Joe would possibly do this selfless act and step down. And the fact that he did, you know, give us any vibrant candidate, and Kamala Harris, I think, has stepped up to the moment. And this week, she has grown since we first saw her as a presidential candidate, not heavy successful run. But Michael, I don't feel force fed this. I don't feel like this was a coup. I feel like this was the best thing that could possibly happen in the history of our freaking country. I'm feeling pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, to this point, and yes, it had to come from all the Obama, from Pelosi, and from everybody, and in a way that they did it, that the party didn't get fractured into pieces. Because like I said, this isn't about crowing, about knowing something and seeing it before everybody else did. This is about, I feel a lot better about where we're going. And I think Donald Trump and all these Nazi bastards in this country are about to take another loss.
I don't disagree with you, Michael. Of course, they will never acknowledge that loss. There might be another insurrectionist coup. 844-967-2789. Kamala, apparently a brief speech, so she has moved on, and we will as well to more callers at 844-967-2789. Jake from Milwaukee. Welcome, Jake. What do you got for us?
The thing is I understand why, you know, people, he's old, we know that. But, you know, for what he's done, I just feel like people like you, Crute, and others, just a complete lack of respect and whining and complaining, and to the point like,
I want to win. You want to win. I want to win. I do not want to lose. I cannot have another Trump term, Jake.
You sound like a jerk, man. I mean, really, you sound like an ageist jerk the last few weeks. You got what you wanted. Why don't you just shut your mouth?
Or yours. Thanks, Jake. Thanks for your contribution. If I am a jerk, you have the option to turn me off, as I have the option to turn you off. 844-967-2789. Troy from Mount Horeb. Welcome, Troy. What do you got for us?
Okay, I'm not going to be that mean. I agree with Matt in that if the leadership had come out the day of or the right away in the morning, the day after the debate, and said, we don't care, 34 felonies, blah, 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 this could have been saved. And the reason, I think, the reason the speech went the way it did last night is because Joe Biden did not want to make that speech.
And you think it was lukewarm because he didn't want to tell the American people he had stepped down? It's got to be a hard choice for the man. I don't disrespect his choice. I lift up his choice. Don't you, Troy?
Oh, absolutely I do. He's incredible. But who would have wanted to make that speech? And because you don't want to make that speech, it's not going to be your best speech.
No, that's an excellent point, Troy.
That's what ended up
happening. Yeah. He,
you know, he, go ahead.
Well, Troy, I'm short on time here. We're going to take a quick break. But I had no problem with the speech. I thought it was a little awkward to watch. But ultimately, I don't think it pushed the narrative forward. I'm waiting for Kamala Harris to push the narrative forward. More Devils.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Thursday happier happy hour, although some of you are getting on my nerves. Maybe I'll stop reading the text line.
I'll start reading them. If they're critical of your position, Crudy, I'd be happy to read them out loud.
There are many critical texts today, and I do read them, and some sting a little. They hurt a little. But you know what? I am not going to be apologetic for being absolutely freaking right on the topic of Joe Biden. And I don't mean to rub it in. I'm not doing a touchdown dance here. You're right. Last night was not a political speech. And I think Troy from Mount Horeb made an excellent point. Some say, well, this was all about Joe getting his opportunity to explain it. Okay. If he needed that, I didn't. I saw the tweet. I knew what his decision was.
Yeah, but you're not everybody, though, right? You recognize that. 29 million people watched that thing, dude.
Some said it was like getting dumped by text. And, you know, now he owed it. The American people, a courtesy call to break up with us properly. That's a clever text. I appreciate that one. Some of them more scathing. But
at least it didn't just ghost us, man. Like, oh, it just disappeared. Where'd Joe go?
Well,
where's Joe?
Maybe there was proof of life because some were saying, of course, on the right, we should 25th Amendment this guy. This has also been a counter narrative going on. And I guess that was my whole point. I don't think that helped dispel any of the rumors. It didn't make Joe come off as more capable in the eyes of the right, because of course they're looking for every fumble.
Nothing will. You recognize that, right? Nothing will make him more capable in the eyes of the right.
But right now, Kamala Harris is pretty much bulletproof. I mean, right now, she has got the love and adoration of the entire Democratic Party. People are reconsidering her.
People that had walked away
from Joe, right? So
yeah, she's a presidential candidate. He is literally the president. He walked away from his campaign. It hasn't been done in 50 years.
Since 68.
Decade,
yes.
Right? So, I mean, it's worthy of 12 minutes of your time.
As I gave him. I watched. My opinion was it didn't advance the narrative because it distracted from what Kamala is trying to accomplish right now, which is being the top of the ticket.
But when you say advance the narrative, that seems political to me, right? You're talking about Kamala's...
These are political seasons
okay,
we're in,
you
my
just
friend.
Literally said it was not a political speech. You just said that.
Well, I would acknowledge...
If we address this in the context, that this is a guy who was...
When the president speaks, it's always a political speech, Dom. He's attacking Trump and supporting
Harris. I'm using your words, so you can correct yourself.
I was using Troy's words.
That you agreed with.
I don't think you heard all of what Troy said. I was going to say the rest.
I heard you say that you agreed with him. So my point being...
That Joe might not have been inspired to give this speech because he didn't want to give the frickin' speech. That's what Troy said.
No, I understand.
Maybe he didn't come off convincing because he didn't want to give the speech.
It was pretty convincing to me when you talk about the choices we have in this country. When we talked about the Selfless Act, we talked about... The reverence he has for the office and the position, putting the country in front of himself, those are words, those are things that needed to be said. That is why he decided to step back. That was what he said. That was his explanation. And a Dear John letter that you know, some people read, but certainly 29 million people tuned into this because they wanted to hear. He owed an explanation beyond the letter, I think. As the president, as the guy who's stepping back. Why, Joe? Here's why. It's important.
I found it less so, but I'm willing to move on.
Okay, but are the callers 844-967-2789? Who do we got? Oh, Dick from Madison. I guess you've been there the longest. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
I'm going to move back to J.D. Vance for a second.
Do not sit on that man's couch. That's all I warn you, Dick.
Right. Well, okay. Could he possibly be George Santos's brother? And this would explain some of these things. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, he has changed his name at least 3 times legally.
Yeah. Right. And as far as the sex on the sofa, I mean.
No, with the sofa. The alleged sex is with the sofa, right. Dick. That's different. Not we've all had sofa. Sex on the sofa. Oh, okay. Yeah, he had sex with the sofa. Allegedly.
Totally different. Totally different.
Hey, I'm getting old. Okay. Until he wags his finger and says, I did not have sex with that sofa. I mean, you know where I'm going with that. But to L.A. Tom earlier, too, he hits it out of the park all the time. You know, earlier today he brought up the media and how they fumble the ball, and they do, with all this coverage. And do any of them understand that if this guy were to get reelected, with the exception of Fox News, he's going to shut you all off?
Well, Dick, I mean, certainly he already talks about the fake news, and I don't think Fox News, at least today, would get any break from him. He's very critical.
He was on Fox News today.
Well, doesn't mean it would. So, the point being, Dick, is that when you have an authoritarian dictator, everything's fine until it's not. You know what I'm saying? You're in the club until you're not.
Yes. Yeah.
And eventually, everybody's not. That's the thing about dictators.
How would you have the media act differently? May I ask? Because I hear this all the time. The media is doing it wrong. Well, as part of the media, let me ask you, Dick, were we not supposed to cover Joe Biden? Are we not supposed to cover Donald Trump? What are we not supposed to be doing that we're doing?
Here's what the media has nonstop never done, ever fact-checked Trump, never say, no, this isn't true when everything comes out of his mouth is a lie.
Well, I mean, Dick, here, that's not true, though. I mean, I got a piece in front of me right now from CNN, fact-check. Trump made at least 10 false claims about Kamala Harris in a single rally speech. If you're talking about live fact-checking in the real time, I mean, so what are you specifically advocating
for? I'm saying it doesn't have to be in real time, but for crying out loud, there's been months of this, years of this, and they just, and, you know, it's just like anything else. It's like sales. Crude, you know about sales. You repeat something over and over and over, and, you know, pretty soon, and...
I never had to lie to my clients to sell them something, Dick. I would maybe say, here, I'm the best, or this is the best product for you over and over, and repeat what I thought the logical conclusion might be. But I don't think this is quite the same. When Donald Trump does it, he is misleading you. I mean, the Washington Post enumerated 40,000 lies. So it's very hard to get excited when the guy goes on the stump and lies to you 10 more times at a rally in North Carolina or Michigan, wherever he was lying today. Because if he's talking, he's lying. That's not even a newsworthy occurrence anymore.
What
I mean? It doesn't catch the attention of the American public. We are so anesthetized to the lies of this man, and certainly his followers. They believe whatever he says. And if he's lying... they know he's lying. We all know he's lying. The guy's a BS artist. They love him for it. Ah, he exaggerates. That's what Matt Flynn, our friend, said of Joe Biden. Well, he's Irish like me. He exaggerates. It's part of the political process. They're okay with that. But what? I'd like to hold my candidate to a higher standard.
Well, but... do the lies matter or the misrepresentations matter? Right?
They
degrees matter. Okay, but so when you have something that's a little white lie versus a straight up fraud convicted lie, and you equate those two things as the same thing, that I think is what Dick was getting to.
Well, the attack on Lester Holt for his interview, and I think the false equivalency made by Lester Holt, and I would be negative of his interview of Joe Biden. I don't think he was fair, and I pointed it out at the time. Lester Holt made the false equivalency because Joe Biden said in private, you know, by any means necessary, we got to beat this guy. He said it at a fundraiser or something.
Put a bullseye on him, something like that.
That was quite different than the public vitriolic language that Donald Trump uses constantly. But what I'm really enjoying about this political cycle in the very shortest of runs, Kamala Harris has stolen all that energy. No one gives a damn what Trump has to say. I don't think we need to cover the lies because nobody's listening to Trump. And it's got to be exasperating to this guy. All he cares about, good or bad, is winning the news cycle. And guess what? Over and over and over, day after day after day, nobody gives a damn about Trump in the news cycle. Maybe over on Foxy News, but the American people aren't hearing about the lies of Trump. And he's fading. He's fading into a also ran position very rapidly before our eyes in the polling. So all we've got to do is keep our eyes on the prize, work like hell, get all our friends excited to vote for Kamala Harris. And we don't have to worry about this authoritarian dictator on day one. We can cast this old man sliding into some form of dementia in the scrap pile of history. You okay, Donald Trump? I think that's what the Harris campaign asked him. You okay? I don't know if he's okay.
He's acting a little weird.
Certainly he is. 844-967-2789. Call, unless you plan on blasting Crudy, then it'll be a short call. Lisa from Middleton, welcome. Be a good neighbor. Lisa. You're in the good neighbor community.
Yeah. Sorry to pile on, Crudy, but...
Oh, here it comes. 100% I thought I saw you on the text line. I should have known better, but go nuts.
No. And seriously, I think he did advance the narrative. He proved, one, that he's alive, which, you know, some people were talking about the Weekend at Bernie's thing. Two, he talked about how it's time to hand things off, pass the torch to... hear from new voices, and he specifically used the word younger. He even emphasized it. Yes, younger. So that adds to the persuasion that we're all trying to do for the people who wanted Biden and felt like he was being forced out. I think Biden's speech last night did a really good job of making it clear he was reluctant, but he recognized this is the right thing to do. And I think that's going to appeal to the folks who really didn't want him to drop out, as few as they may be, because after the debate,
maybe I'm being short-sighted. Obviously, the audience thinks I am, and you clearly are clarifying that point for me. Maybe I'm being myopic. This is an excellent point you make, Linda. I never felt the need to sorrow over the loss of the Biden candidacy. I was ecstatic over the loss of the Biden candidacy. And I don't mean to come off as a jerk for those that really love the man. I think he's tremendous. This is an incredibly unselfish move. But, you know, the elective cycle moves pretty quick, and I'm ready to move on. I'm sad to say it, but that's where my heart is, because I saw Kamala on Tuesday, and I'm in love. I'm enthralled with this new top-of-the-ticket candidate. And I guess I'm just enthusiastic for others to feel like I do. I'm sorry if I'm not accounting for others that are, you know, in mourning for Joe's candidacy. That wasn't me. I was never a Joe guy. I was an anti-Trump guy.
Right. And I think we can have both. We can have enormous enthusiasm for Kamala. In fact, in an hour or so, I'm going to get on a call with the White Women Answer the Call. It's the...
You go, sister.
Yeah. So you can have this enormous enthusiasm over Kamala, but we also have to bring along the people who are feeling sad about Joe Biden. And I think he did a really good job making his case last night. And like Don said, this is historic. This does not happen. So anyway, thanks for taking my call. You guys have a good night.
You as well, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Go give that dog a bone or something. Sounds like my naughty one. Here at Lisa's advice, next time I see Matt Flynn, big hug. I'm going to give him a big hug.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that I think it is important, and I think Lisa makes an excellent point. Thank you for the call. You know, the Democratic Party is more unified now than I've seen it in a very, very long time.
Since maybe Obama in 08?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel great about it.
844-967-2789. It's okay to feel great, man. I get it. But we could recognize. And again, I hadn't considered. There's lots of different perspectives, right? And that's why I love doing the show and meeting all you fine people and talking to you and hearing your perspectives. Because as smart as we are and as dialed in as we are, and, you know, sometimes I read the transcripts and don't watch it live. But everyone gets a different feel for what they see and what they hear. And that's why we come together and talk about it and tell Crudy why we appreciate your opinion. You're just wrong on this one.
More devil's advocates. More of you crapping on Crudy. One last segment. Get it in now. Because you're not going to wreck my good feeling, people. I'm telling you. I love me some Kamala Harris. We're going to win. And, you know, take your best shots. 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, if you want to pile on Crudy, now is your opportunity. 844-967-2789.
Oh, they're piling on. But here are a few of the thoughts on the text line. Andrew from Verona says, most importantly, has Kamala Harris ever boinked a couch? Tyler says the couch in question should be subpoenaed and subjected to vigorous probing by Jordan, Gomer, and Graham. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, clever stuff. Jeff from Shorewood says, you okay, Crudy? I know what you did there. A serious question, I believe. Matt from Germantown, I guess this one's for you, Dom. Do you consider Kamala more liberal or moderate? Liberal or moderate?
I guess I'd have to, my impression is more moderate than liberal. I know, you know, the Republicans and the MAGAs are calling her extreme liberal. Maybe she was a prosecutor. She was an attorney general in California, the most populous state in the country, fifth largest economy in the world. I didn't get a sense that she was like super, super Bernie Sanders-y when she was in California. Now, perhaps she has embraced, you know, some more liberal policies than Biden. I mean, if you're asking me, is she more liberal than Biden? Probably. Is she more liberal than Bernie and AOC? Probably not.
Jill from Madison says, as usual, Dom was right. It was a really good speech. If you say so. Jake being quite profane to me. Llama says Joe put the U.S. in USA. Andrew says the statement proved Biden is still alive. That is an important thing to prove. You're wrong. Again, Big C, someone from the TAP 93.5 says, Kurt says, Crudy, stop being a putz. Yeah, back at you, Kurt. What else we got here? Jim, Mr. Crudy, you are both wrong and a fool. Stop doing the insurrectionist work for them. You had a bump in listeners. Now you're doing a great job of driving us away. Congratulations. But then you wouldn't hear me read your text on the air, crapping on me, Jim. And I'll just read one more. Matt from Richland Center. I agree with Crudy again. His face is becoming less punchable every show. Thanks, Team Matt, Team Crudy. 844. You take the small victory sometimes.
Right. Take what you can.
844-967-2789. Tom from Jackson. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hi. Hey, I have to say I agree with Crudy on this one.
Which part, Tom? Just for clarity's sake.
What?
Well, I have to say, Biden is slipping. It's sad, but it's true. But he really is fading away. And I think he's doing what he can do. He's making a maximum effort, and it's a credit to him. But, you know, I think it's providential the way things are working out. And I think people are feeling hope again, like they haven't felt in really since 16 or so, when there's like a cloud that came over the country. And now people are feeling reasonably hopeful.
Tom, I don't even want to relitigate why it is that Joe Biden stepped down from the race. I'd love to just remember the guy fondly and move on and cheer for the new top of the Democratic ticket, Kamala Harris. That's where I'm at.
He's fading away. He's fading away. I don't think you have to worry about that, Crudy.
Well, appreciate it, Tom. Hopefully I don't follow him in the fade. I know some of you are cheering against me right now. I lost the phone
Ron,
screen, Dom. I'll let you
call.
All
right, we'll keep going. 844-967-2789. Ron from Madison. You're next. Welcome, Ron. What do you got?
Hey, Ron.
Hi, guys. Listen, Curdy, the difference between you two and your watching the speech re-illustrates the point about the people who watched the first televised debate between Kennedy and Nixon.
Yeah.
Those people who listened to that debate thought Nixon won. The people who watched it thought Kennedy won.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I found some of his gestures, the stiffness and the fact that he didn't quite know what to do with his hands, I found that off-putting, and I thought it detracted from his message. Now, I don't care at this point. He can be a little off-putting with his hands. He can give a speech from the Oval Office if he wants to, but I just don't think he had to or advanced the narrative. That's just one man's opinion, but I just want to talk about Kamala Harris at this late hour.
All right. A couple more. Don from Milwaukee, you're next. Welcome, Don. What do you got?
Hey, Don.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I watched the speech last night with a heavy heart, but we have to move on, I guess. I had an idea for you guys. Like Obama had a slogan for his campaign, like, "Yes, we can," and that dirtbag over there has got one too, but I don't want to mention it. But, couldn't we get a slogan for Kamala, like, "For the people" or something like that? I know it sounds kind of corny, but we got to move on, even though I'll miss Joe.
Don, I hear her first thought, first crack at a campaign slogan is, "I didn't just fall out of a coconut tree." How do you like that?
The coconut trees. Hey, Wisco Paul, you will have the last 30 seconds. Welcome, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. I watched the speech last night, and I'm happy he stepped down. I don't really have a problem with his speech, but it's time to move on. Kamala and Joe isn't ready to go from what I watched last night for this campaign. So I'm happy. Cootie was right, and Kamala is our nominee. And he's got a chance to beat him. I don't think Biden did. He doesn't look, maybe I would have a different perspective if I listened to it on the radio, but I watched it, and he just doesn't look like he's ready to campaign. So I guess.
Wisco Paul, that's why we recommend you always listen to us on the radio. We look so sexy. Thank you all. Thank you, Matt Flynn, our friend. Thank you, Rich, for doing the hard work over there.
Thank you, Rich.
We'll air the grievances on Friday, as long as I am not the central talking point.